please have a seat. I think nobody would deny that for children, one of the most exciting things about Christmas is the sheer surprise of opening presents. Sometimes when I was a child, there were good surprises. Sometimes, as with some of my grandmother's rather surprising knitwear, the surprises weren't quite so good. But it seems that as we get older, the appetite for surprise lessens. A recent report suggests that $2 billion is spent each year on unwanted gifts. But we keep on giving in the hope of surprise. And I hope all your surprises this year will be very good ones. But in terms of the sheer impact of surprise, the surprises of that first Christmas really can't be beaten. In Luke's Gospel, we see Mary first perplexed and then joyful, the shepherds afraid, others amazed by their news. And in Matthew 2, we see Herod troubled by a nasty shock and the three kings rejoicing with great joy. But in today's reading, it's Joseph who faces a massive double surprise. First, he learns that his fiancée is pregnant and not by him. And then the truly mind-blowing news that this baby has been conceived by God's Holy Spirit. It really doesn't get more surprising than that. Well, when I was an ordinand and then a curate training, I spent weekends at Aylesford Priory, often going to services in St. Joseph's Chapel. And in some of the longer sermons, I started studying the pictures of Joseph on the wall and wondering what it had been like for him. In lots of these pictures, Joseph hovers supportively in the background. But in these few verses from Matthew's Gospel, the spotlight and the pressure are really all on him. We don't learn all that much detail about Joseph in the Gospels. He's only mentioned a handful of times and not always by name. But we do learn here that he is a descendant of the house of David and that he and Mary were legally betrothed to one another. So Mary's pregnancy would have brought great dishonor, and we can only imagine the range of emotions that the two of them might have felt. Embarrassment, sorrow, and perhaps disappointment. In that time, the only formal options open to them, I'm told, would be either a public hearing to seek formal redress or a private voluntary divorce. And Joseph, in the first instance, chooses the latter because he wants to spare Mary public humiliation. Well, as if Joseph has not had enough of a shock, an angel now tells him in a dream that this baby is conceived through the Holy Spirit, that the child is the Savior that the prophet Isaiah spoke of, Emmanuel, God with us. And he, Joseph, is to go ahead without any fear to marry Mary and treat this baby as his own. Well, I think many people's reaction on hearing all this would be, you've got to be kidding, or why me? Why do I get lumbered with this task? But Joseph goes on to do exactly what the angel asks him to do. Well, there's more of a hint here in Matthew's Gospel that Joseph's special role is all part of God's plan, not least because we hear echoes of prophecies from Isaiah and also from Jeremiah that the Messiah would be born into the line of David. But what is it about Joseph that enables him to respond to God's call as he does? I think there's a clue in the word righteous, which in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, is rich in meaning. used of God, it means generous and just in keeping promises. Used of a person, it means somebody who loves God and lives in his ways. Or to think of it another way, somebody like Joseph who responds generously to God's generous love. Indeed, how could anyone otherwise find the courage for the awesome challenge of helping to raise God's son? And very soon, Joseph will need courage in spades as he and his young family escape the wrath of Herod. But for now, in this moment, what the angel is asking of Joseph is in a way something very simple, although it's also not easy. Just to stick around, to be there for Mary and this extraordinary infant, accepting both of them in his probably young life. Only Mary can carry the baby, give birth to the baby. Only Mary will have in later centuries that epithet, Theotokos, the bearer of God. But Joseph's offering here in this moment is the gift of his faithful presence. I think sometimes in our society we place more value on doing than being, and it's easy to worry about how useful and effective we are in what we offer other people and even what we offer God. And sometimes we forget that the most valuable thing we can offer is ourselves and our presence. To say simply, I'm here for you. I'm sticking around. I often see in my work as a hospital chaplain that in the extreme moments of life, such as birth, illness, and death, saying, I'm here for you, is paradoxically the only thing, but also the most precious thing that we can offer. It's also a way in which we can respond, as Joseph did, to God's promise through Jesus to come and stick around with us, to abide with us, first as a baby and then, as the risen Christ said, in our lives until the end of the age. But perhaps there's something even more crucial that Joseph has to offer in this rather unique family situation, and that is his humanity. I can't help thinking Joseph must have wondered, how did I land this job? And we may also wonder, why did God's son need a human father? Surely the God of ages could look after him. Well, the answer, it seems to me, lies in the extraordinary mystery that's at the very heart of Christmas. That the baby Jesus Emmanuel was fully and completely God, but also fully and completely human. As a child, he would have fallen over and scraped his knees. He would have had fights, perhaps, with other children, ailments, all sorts of things to contend with. The Gospels show him as an adult, sometimes tired, frustrated, or hungry. And in the end, of course, he suffered terrible physical pain on the cross. But part of Joseph's calling, perhaps, with Mary, was to make sure that the one who would be despised and rejected by the world for our sake also knew the warmth of human experience, comfort, tenderness, laughter, family life. And perhaps, just perhaps, in Jesus' ministry of compassion, we may glimpse not only the love of our Heavenly Father, but also the kindness of this man, Joseph. When Jesus spoke about the meek inheriting the earth, when he let little children come to him, when he honored women, even those frowned on by society, did Jesus perhaps sometimes have at the back of his mind Joseph, who had accepted him and his very young mother? So Joseph's response to God's call is important in several ways. It's a shining example of compassion, obedience, and a love that knows no fear or shame. It's a wonderful example, too, of what it means to offer our presence fully to others and to God. But Joseph also seems to be part of God's plan for his son to come fully alongside humanity, to share fully, as the carol says, in our human sadness and gladness, and to rescue us for himself. For at the very heart of the Christmas story is that mystery that Jesus, somehow by being born of Mary and adopted by Joseph, by living and dying as a man, has opened the way for all of us in turn to become adopted sons and daughters of our Father in heaven. And that surely is the best Christmas surprise of all. Amen.